Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are continuing our study in the Gospel according to Mark. We're in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, you'll remember in the opening verses, Jesus was amazed how in his hometown there was such a profound lack of faith. Verse 6 of chapter 6, speaking of Jesus, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus, having been essentially rejected in his own hometown, began to travel from village to village. And think about that for a moment, because he's going to other places, having been misunderstood and rejected in the place where he grew up. The people there didn't say, "Who is this guy?" They said, "Who is this guy? We know him." In other words, there was a disconnect between their view of a familiar personage and the miracle stories they'd heard about Jesus, and the fact that even there, though he didn't do many miracles, he did some. It was remarkable. But he did very few there compared to other places. And so now Jesus goes from village to village teaching. And in verse 7, he called the 12 to him. They'd already been introduced back in chapter 3. But now Jesus is about to send them out. And he's sending them out two by two with authority to cast out demons. Think about it for a moment. Jesus sent the apostles out two by two. How important is it for us to have somebody else who's with us? Well, now, one reason is because in the mouths of two witnesses, according to the law in Deuteronomy, things will be confirmed. Yeah, but it's not just that. Back when there was only one person on the planet, God said it is not good for the man to be alone. Obviously, in order for there to be more people, he had to provide a helpmate. I get that. It's not just that. You look in the New Testament, and not only do we see Jesus sending the apostles out two by two, but you see the extent to which the apostle Paul depended on having a co-laborer with him. And in one case, he says, "I went and got it, opened the door, and it looked very promising, but I didn't have anybody to work with me, so I left." Or in another place, he hung in there, but only until the cavalry came. He was waiting for coworkers. Folks, you and I need to depend on the Lord, but we need to understand that God gives us a longing for relationship because we were designed for that. If you feel like, I need some help, that's not a bad thing. One of the things that makes us especially prone to feel like we can't do it is when we're trying to do things that we're not supposed to do. If I feel responsible for other people's happiness, I'm going to completely burn myself out trying to do what I can't do. I can't fix them. I'm responsible to do what God has called me to do. And God doesn't call us to just please everybody. But if we realize the best thing I can do for this person is to model what it looks like to love the Lord with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, I'm going to quit gauging everything I do based on how I think they might respond. Well, Pastor, you've gone pretty far afield this morning from the idea that Jesus sent them out two by two. I mean, you know, couldn't you have just said he sent them out two by two and it's good for us to have somebody who works with us? I want us to understand that the reason Jesus sent them out two by two was not only to give credibility to what they had to say, the miracles would be very helpful in that regard. Jesus sent them out two by two because it's a model of how we're supposed to minister. And every place that I've pastored, I have cultivated relationships with other pastors that would pray for me, that would ask the right questions, and that would be willing to share what was happening in their lives. It is important for us not to try and make it on our own. We need accountability, and we need encouragement.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Jesus sent them out two by two, and he sent them out with authority to cast out demons. Now, how does that work? It means he told them, you can do this, and by his authorizing it, they now had the authority. They didn't have that authority innately. It's not something that Jesus just had to teach them. You know, people can do this. No, they could do it because they were entrusted with that authority. And Jesus was able to do the things that he did because he was acting in obedience to the Father. We have a lot of bogus teaching that's popular in the culture about basically just believing it and actualizing it. And if, you know, if you can see it, you can do it. You can make it happen. That is utter hogwash. The fact of the matter is, you can do what God created you to do. You can do what God calls you to do. You can't just do whatever you want. So, Jesus sends them out two by two with delegated authority. That's verse 7. Verse 8, Jesus gives them some strange instructions. When kids come to Camp Arrowwood in the summer, they don't come in here blind. They're given information ahead of time about the kind of things they ought to bring, okay? Do bring this, don't bring this, okay? If I was sending people on a journey, a missions trip, whatever, I would want to be sure that they had a passport. I would want to be sure that they had some currency. I would want to be sure that they had some skills that would be helpful. Well, these guys are being told by Jesus, I'm sending you out and you're not even to take the normal stuff. The things that ordinarily you would take, you're not to take. Look at verse 8. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. You're kidding. Do you remember how the disciples got really nervous when they were going on a little boat ride across the lake and they realized they forgot to bring bread? They're like, oh no. And Jesus says to them, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. And they say, oh, see, he knows we forgot to bring bread. He's saying that because we forgot to bring bread. And Jesus says, guys, do you not remember when it was 5,000 men plus women and children? We had 5 loaves, 2 fish that somebody else had brought to the picnic. And how much did you take up afterwards? 12 baskets full. And when it was 4,000, how much did you take up afterwards? 7 baskets. He said, do you still not understand? So imagine how disconcerting this would be for any sane, normal person to be told, I'm sending you on a journey, and the only thing you're to take is your walking stick. Well, what else, Jesus? Come on. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. You don't have to go barefoot. You can wear sandals, but you cannot bring an extra tunic. Why would I want an extra tunic? Change of clothes? No, it's called keeping warm at night if you don't have a place to sleep. Jesus says, here's what you do about that. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Well, what if it's not very comfortable? Let me just tell you, if you do international missions, there will be times when the most generous hospitality that you are offered in a place is not up to American standards. Well, what if you're not given any hospitality? What if the people reject us? Then you shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them, and you move on to the next place. Why would Jesus give such silly instructions? They're not silly. They're very important. Jesus had given them authority to defeat the power of Satan. He commissioned them to speak the truth and to perform miracles of healing. But in order for the miraculous to take place, God likes to put us in a position of utter dependence on him. You remember a guy named Abraham? God's going to make him the father of nations. But he waits until Abraham and his wife, who were not able to have children normally, were way past the time when they could have had children normally. Why would God do that? To make it very, very clear, I'm the one providing laughter, which was their miracle baby's name. God loves to do stuff like that. You remember Gideon? Okay, please don't tell that story. Yes, we all remember Gideon. God kept shrinking his army. God loves to do stuff like that. Why does he do it that way over and over and over again? So we know it's him. So we should not be surprised that if God is wanting us to do something really amazing, he will put us in a position where the only way this can possibly happen is if God does it. You know why? Because even when we've got all the resources that we would like to have, the only way it happens is if God does it. You and I can't draw our next breath apart from God. We don't have another heartbeat apart from God. The world would absolutely explode if God didn't hold it all together by the word of his power. You and I are utterly dependent on God all the time, whether we recognize it or not. But when God is getting ready to do something amazing, God brings us to the point where we say, the only way this is going to happen is if God does it. And that's what God was doing with them. There had to be utter dependence. We learn from Jesus to pray, give us this day our daily bread.
Well, I mean, these guys are fishermen. Some of them had money. You know, I mean, why would they have to pray for daily bread? I mean, why don't we pray for next year's job opportunities?
Because God wants all of us every day to recognize that everything we have comes from Him. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. The one who knows how many hairs are on top of your head is the one who provides everything. So for the miraculous to happen, you needed utter dependence. You also need faithful obedience. God will often tell us things that don't seem reasonable. Why? So we learn to obey. Why should I do it? Didn't you hate it when your parents said, because I said so? But do you know what? It usually wasn't the only reason that your parents had. They were just trying to teach you that you don't have to understand all the reasons, because sometimes you won't like the reasons. Sometimes you won't understand the reasons, even if they try and explain it to you. But you need to learn to obey because you submit to authority. And Jesus is sending them out to exercise authority over satanic, rebellious spirits. And in order for them to be doing what God has sent them to do, they have to walk in obedience, even when it seems unreasonable. Come on, I mean, just what harm is an extra cloak? I mean, I don't mind wearing a layered look. Jesus said, no, don't do that. Well, shouldn't one of us have some money? I'm sure Judas thought he should. He was the treasurer. You know, Jesus, I mean, who are we going to leave the money with? You? Jesus says, no money. No money. So, faithful obedience. Can you think of an example of that? We already mentioned it earlier. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Philippians chapter 2 says we're supposed to be like that. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. What did he bring to earth? Well, a reservation for a nice hotel. No, he's born in a manger. God arranged that. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Needs to be utter dependence and faithful obedience if you want to see the miraculous. How many of you would like to see the miraculous? Man, I wish God would do some of that stuff. You read about in the Bible, you hear about it sometimes, but I'd really like to see a miracle. You ready to be utterly dependent on God? Are you ready for him to bring you to the point where because of your obedience to him, you've got nothing left? All you got is him. Well, I do want to see the miraculous, but maybe TV is good. We don't want to be in a position of utter dependence on God. But that's the arena where God does his best work. Utter dependence, faithful obedience. Third thing that was absolutely vital, be prepared to be rejected. Jesus sent them out to do miracles, and he told them, you remember what happened in Nazareth? And then we moved on. Jesus said, you need to be prepared for the fact that some of the places you're going to go, the people are not going to accept you. And when that happens, you need to shake the dust off your feet. Don't go off saying, I can't believe it. They didn't like me. I think it was you. You know, I mean, he sent us out two by two. I think if you hadn't been there, I could have charmed them. No, be prepared for rejection. If you're going to do what God calls us to do as followers of Jesus, you have got to be prepared for rejection. But remember, when you're rejected, that is the way they responded to Jesus, and that Jesus told us to expect the same. Verse 12. They were sent out by Jesus. What was their message? God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And you are special just like everyone else. That's not entirely false, but that wasn't the message. That wasn't what they led with. It's not what's recorded. Instead, they went out and they said the same thing Jesus did back in Mark chapter 1. What did he say? Repent. Repent. Well, that's not a happy thought. Oh, but it is. It is. The message of repentance is a message that we don't have to keep doing the same stupid, self-destructive things over and over and over again. God is inviting us, indeed commanding us, to change course. That's really good news if you're going the wrong way. God says, well, you made a bad decision back there, now you're doomed. No. God says, turn around. Turn around. That's a message of hope. But it is an essential message. You cannot possibly follow Jesus without repentance. And it's not a one-time deal. Repent. That was the message in verse 12. And in verse 13, it tells us that great things happened. God gave miraculous deliverance from demonic forces, and people got healed, lots of them. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, but there's one more thing that Mr. Eeyore here has to share with you. Okay? One of the 12 was out there with a co-laborer, one of the apostles. One of the 12 was this guy named Judas. He prayed for sick people, anointed them with oil, and they got well. He commanded demons to come out of people, and they came out. Pastor, why would you tell us that? Because ministry doesn't save you. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says there will be many who will say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? Judas heard that Sermon on the Mount. He didn't repent. The problem with Judas was that he was still trying to run his own life. Following Jesus was a way to be on the winning team. Because Jesus is the Messiah. He could tell. He believed Jesus was the Messiah. But he got increasingly frustrated that Jesus wasn't doing it the way he wanted it done. He wanted a Messiah who would be his guy. And Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. And he only said what the Father told him to say. And if you think you're going to get into heaven by saying the right stuff, doing what you think is best, I got news for you. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Please repent and believe the good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.